Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 19th of January, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
And a happy Tuesday to you. Also, very comfortable in her guest chair, so we're just going to keep her around. I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Yes, I haven't moved since yesterday. Hi.
Okay, that would be true whether or not I had you on the podcast today.
Yeah, I mean, not gonna lie, it's not even a joke.
I'm only sort of kidding. So pitter patter, let's get at her. We have some announcements, Charlotte, of Critics Choice Awards coming out.
Yeah, 26 Critics Choice Awards on the way, and Apple has three nominations.
Woo! Four.
They're all for Ted Lasso.
Nice.
So Ted Lasso has been nominated for Best Comedy Series. Jason Sudeikis has been nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. And Hannah Waddingham has also been nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series.
So these are all correct.
they are all correct. Slightly awkwardly, I noticed that Quibi has actually got more nominations than Apple TV Plus.
Ouch.
That's going to be weird. There were four nominations for Quibi, but, you know, only one of these services still exists, so, hey.
That's valid.
You win some, you lose some.
Now, I will point out another name that came up in the nominations, which I think is a little bit interesting, is Schitt's Creek, because eligibility windows, because of last year, are all kind of weird, so it feels like Schitt's Creek went off the air forever ago. But I think it's because, like, the deadlines have changed for, like, the windows where a show had to be airing or available.
And I think it's also why Ted Lasso got in, where, you know, and things like The Morning Show and stuff are obviously too outside that eligibility window. So, yeah, it all takes a bit of evening out, but everyone gets there. They're up against some really interesting people. So as Eugene Levy from Schitt's Creek, as you mentioned, is up against Jason Sudeikis. Amongst others, like including Nick Holt from The Great. Hannah Waddingham is also up against Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek and Ashley Park from Emily in Paris. Apparently it's meant to be Emily in Paris, but there we go.
Okay.
Which makes more sense, but it just does. Us Brits have ruined that pronunciation.
You had some help from us, to be fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, or vice versa.
It was a group effort, either way.
In terms of, like, Best Limited Series, Apple didn't get into that, but you won't be surprised to know that The Queen's Gambit is in there. You know, you probably could have picked a lot of these, but I think Apple will be pleased that it is remaining in this these conversations.
Well, and it's critics' choice, so it's not just was something popular or who had, you know, maybe the best marketing behind it. Which is how some of the other awards, sort of feel like they get chosen that way, like huge advertising campaigns and things like that. So part of, you know, and when you hear people win at the Critics' Choice Awards, if you've ever sat and watched them, they always say, like, this one is more meaningful because it comes from the critics, like people whose whole job is, like, to watch these units of entertainment and then figure out, you know, which ones are good and not so good. So, I think there's probably a little bit of bonus point kind of feeling to getting something like a Critics' Choice Award, in my estimation. It's entirely possible I am completely wrong, and you can tell me so at observations@macobserver.com. So another thing we want to point out is that
it's also worth pointing out that actually a Critics' Choice Award was the first thing Apple TV Plus ever won. Billy Crudup picked up one last year. As I said, that's why, you know, The Morning Show is not in contention this year because we haven't had Series 2 yet. But Billy Crudup did win Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series last year, and it was the first award.
That's right.
Apple TV Plus got, and I would have told you that was last month. So,
Today in what even is time. Another thing that we can tell you is that if you missed out on The Morning Show, if you have somehow not been worn down by everyone you know who has watched Ted Lasso to actually watch Ted Lasso, you have until July to do it.
For free,
as it turns out. For nothing, yes. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Yeah, there were some reports emerged yesterday that it looks like the free extension is going to be extended again. We already knew that we weren't going to have to pay through till July. And it looks like that's now going to, sorry, through February, and it now looks like that's going to become July, which means if you signed up for TV Plus when it first launched in November 2019, you have had a year and 9 months without paying.
Mm-hmm. If you signed up in the before times, you've had 6 years of TV Plus.
I have two caveats. One, I looked at my TV Plus subscription before we came on air, and it's still telling me I have to pay in February 21.
Okay.
However, the reports out there, it looks like this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If the reports are correct and what we think is going to happen does happen,
mm-hmm.
I cannot get my head around the TV Plus strategy anymore.
Andrew, what do you think?
I mean, I kind of just assume it was helping people get through all of this continuing in 2021.
Oh, okay.
And maybe just
we're going to be cool about it.
New subscribers, potentially, as usual.
So I think that was 100% the first extension.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think you're right about that, Andrew, the first time around. And it also helped with, it sort of brought everything in line with new iPhones coming out and new bundles about to arrive. And it kind of helped. It was, you know, slightly messy time-wise, but basically by February, most people were kind of on a way that they should be paying for TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, the original sign-ups.
Yeah.
And that made sense to me. So you would go from having TV Plus and maybe another couple of services to just a bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was winning and happy.
Yeah.
Now I don't understand. And then plus you then had Fitness Plus rolled out. So everything kind of synced up together. But because I wrote this yesterday, eventually people are going to have to pay for TV Plus. Apple launched Apple One. Because mm-hmm. the bundles, because it wants people to pay for its services.
Yeah.
So eventually people are going to have to pay for TV Plus. And presumably Apple wants people to get their bundle.
Very so, eventually, though. Yeah.
I can't quite get my head around. And the longer you take something for free, mm-hmm. the more we just expect it's free.
Yeah. The less inclined you are to start paying.
When I'm working out my personal budget for how much I'm prepared to pay on whatever service, Apple Plus TV Plus at the moment is not a consideration because mm-hmm. I don't pay for it and have never paid for it.
Exactly.
At some point, that will have to change, and I don't. And I just think the longer they delay it, the more painful it becomes. Even though it's still, you know, and are they going to? Is that going to be when there's a price hike? This for a company where we kind of trust that everything will fall into place,
mm-hmm.
this is not the big picture. Is I can't see it yet, and I will be, you know, I might speak to you in July and it all makes sense and we've been silly and
boom,
there's something else coming and we're gonna learn that it all makes sense, but I cannot see it at the moment.
Yeah. All I can think of is some sort of like, maybe it's Apple. It's easier on Apple from a bookkeeping perspective. And I was just thinking of that because January, February, March is a quarter for Apple. And April, May, June is a quarter. So they've just pushed it out to the next quarter to start generating revenue on it. And that's like, I don't know why that would make sense for Apple, but that's like the best I can come up with for that, particularly with the bundle stuff that you were talking about, Charlotte. That's where I ended up confused. And
I feel like Apple has enough accountants that they can make it work.
Yeah. Like, but that was the only other thing that I could come up with when I was trying to figure out like what makes this make sense. Like, is it something Apple's doing in a particular way? And I don't know what that would be unless they're announcing something amazing at WWDC in June that we're all going to want to start paying for in July. Like, I can't figure it out. And I can't figure out like the, you know, it's not a free subscription thing because like you only get it once per Apple ID. friend of the show, Ross, actually confirmed that with Apple, because they were like, oh no, it's once per Apple ID. It's not, you know, no matter how much new hardware you buy, you don't get another year for free. So I don't know how this makes sense, but like we've said that before, and then we've made it to the next, you know, to the actual announcement, and then gotten there and gone, oh, that's why. And it's all, you know, it's all kind of cleared up. So we'll have to see where that ends up, because yeah, right now it's mostly just confusing, and it just feels a lot like we're just continuing to give it away because reasons, and that just seems weird. I would like to believe Andrew's explanation of like, we were all supposed to get to go places by now and we can't, so Apple's just trying to be cool about it.
No, but also there's that, and also there was a legitimate reason for not to pay in December, January, February.
Correct.
Because there was content we were expecting that didn't arrive, that could that could not be delivered.
Right.
And some of that will still be delayed, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still new content that is coming to TV Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it did sync up with bundling and everything, so like, yeah, I could see... not paying for a year, and then you give me a couple extra months so that I can add it to the bundle and basically still get it for free, because I'm, you know, I still get Apple TV, but I'm paying the same amount to Apple I was paying before, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, like you said, that made sense. So, I don't know. This doesn't make a lot of sense either. But while we're talking about Apple doing things that don't make a lot of sense, Andrew... You've brought us an interesting evolution in the podcast app.
Yes. So Apple, I think they launched it today. It's a new feature in the podcast app. It's called Spotlight. And it's a way to, similar, as I pointed out, I think it's similar to what you'll find in Apple Music and apps in the App Store with the editorial notes. I think it's just a way to, here's a cool new creator that we found. Mm-hmm. They're up and coming. We want to highlight them. And they also add their editorial notes of what they think about it. Okay. And it can be found in the Browse tab.
Okay. In Apple's podcast app.
Yes.
Okay.
And the first podcaster featured, her name is Chelsea Devantes. She has a show called Celebrity Book Club, and it discusses female celebrities and what kind of memoirs they're writing. And I forget who wrote this up, someone on Medium, but Ben Cave, the global head of business for Apple Podcasts, made a couple of comments, just basically just talked about what Spotlight is and what I just said, shining a light on creators with singular voices. And we're delighted to recognize Chelsea as our first Spotlight selection. And then it sounds like there's going to be a new one every month.
Okay, so that rotates monthly. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not up and coming, so spoiler alert, I don't think you're going to find daily observations in the featured tab anytime in the Spotlight anytime soon. Apple... You already have a thing called Spotlight. Come on. You could have just called it Featured. It could have been today, like the App Store. You know, no. No, why would we do that when we could confuse people further? I'm just going to pause for a second, and we're going to pretend that Charlotte has unleashed her opinion of Apple's relationship to the word TV. and there it is. So whether we understand them or not, those are things that we know Apple's doing. One of the things we think Apple might be doing is Podcasts Plus.
Yes. Charlotte is looking forward to this one.
Desperately, from the sounds of things.
So this is a rumor. Bloomberg had a bunch of rumors last Friday involving Apple. And this one is Apple... We've heard, I think we've actually heard this for a little while now. I think it was last year we heard Apple was experimenting with maybe having their own Apple original podcast or something.
Yeah.
And so with this rumor, it would be a service. I'm saying it's probably going to be called Podcast Plus. And Bloomberg says they want to compete more with Spotify because Spotify now has their own podcasts.
They do indeed. Yes,
we have assumed for a while that Apple was going to do original podcasts, haven't we? And yes. We know things. There's going to be some stuff linked to TV Plus content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm reticent to say this as someone who's launched a show called with a plus in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But we could change the nomenclature. Like, the show is called that because everything else is called Plus, not the other. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. It's not latest in a series. You're commenting on all of the pluses currently available. So
there's many pluses available, including a new Media Plus out today.
Just well.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we have been expecting original content for a while, and mm-hmm. I think that's probably a good thing. Are people, like, are you going to have to pay for this, Andrew?
So that is where I kind of added my own speculation.
Brilliant. Which is?
Maybe. I guess it just depends, because I tried to compare it with services that Apple already has, mm-hmm. like Podcast Plus. Maybe this would be Apple's own original podcast, but it also could be, you know, third-party podcast creators signing up too to mm-hmm. have their podcasts into this subscription service. And mm-hmm. so with other services that have third-party content like that, like Apple Music and News Plus, mm-hmm. Those services are $9.99 a month. Mm-hmm. But with services like TV Plus and Apple Arcade, where Apple is more involved, like they were working with these game developers,
yeah.
and they have their own shows on TV Plus, those are $4.99 a month. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe with the third-party content, it would be another $9.99 a month service. And I would imagine Whoa. It would be somewhere in the Apple One bundle. I'm just yeah. not sure which yeah. tier. Yeah.
It's got to go in the bundle.
It does. Yeah.
$9.99 for as a subscription. That just seems too much. I totally follow Andrew's logic, and his logic is correct.
Yeah.
But that just seems...
It leads me to $5 a month, not 10. That's, I mean, everything you said is correct, but I feel like it might be like an addition to TV Plus or an addition to Apple Music. Like if you get Apple Music for $10 a month now, for $15 a month, you get all these podcasts. If you have TV Plus for $5, for another $5, you can get all the podcasts that go along with all the shows. And a bunch of other stuff too, like I don't know, because then that locks out the people who, like, you know, I really love the morning show and I want to consume everything related to the morning show, but I can't have the podcast unless I pay more money at some point in the future for TV Plus.
That makes sense too.
So I don't quite get that, but it's an interesting idea. Now we have a couple minutes left, so Andrew, we've also had. If my estimation is correct, we've also had some hardware rumors.
Yeah, so the two other rumors from Bloomberg are about the Macs.
Okay.
And so first up, they say Apple is going to plan a new iMac redesign for 2021. Okay. They mentioned this would be its first redesign, or its first major change, at least, in the design since 2012.
Yeah.
And they say it sounds like it's kind of it's going to have a similar design to the Pro Display XDR.
That makes sense.
Because they say it's going to remove the chin on the bottom, mm-hmm. and it will have thinner bezels on the sides. And okay. They say two versions will be available. So the 21.5-inch iMac and the 27-inch mm-hmm. iMac. Nice. And they just say these are coming later this year.
Okay. And then we also heard about new laptops, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So they also say new MacBook Pros are coming also with the redesign. Now, this redesign I thought was interesting. They're calling it a flat design similar to the iPhone 12. Okay. It would remove kind of the curvedness on the bottom edge of these current okay. MacBooks.
Yeah.
And they also say these are coming in 2021.
Interesting.
I think kind of the bigger one that people are talking about is Apple. They say Apple would bring back MagSafe mm-hmm. for these new MacBook Pros.
Mm-hmm. I really love MagSafe. there's a reason it took me as long as it took me to upgrade, and part of it was I really like MagSafe and I don't want to get rid of it. This makes a lot of sense to me that both of these are coming, just because Apple wants to show off what they can do now that they make everything inside. Like,
yeah.
Now that we've integrated everything, like we've proof of concepted that we can slot our chip into the sort of existing setup, you know, with the M1 machines that people have. And so, you know, whether this ends up being the M2 or just this is the grand debut of what the iMac, the M1 powered iMac and the M1 powered other machines, because also they were saying 14 inch and 16 inch. We're going to be the sizes on those. So Apple getting an opportunity to maybe do that in a comparable amount of space. Like they could do a 16 inch. We know they've already done a 16 inch laptop. Maybe they could get a little bit more screen into the 13 inch footprint, you know, because it'll have no bezel, because they don't have to have all that extra crap that they needed before. Mm. I don't know. You know, I'm just making things up. But now that Apple has 100% control over all of that and they don't have to make allowances for anything in order for the Intel processors to do what they need to do, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what those look like, because like the MacBook Pro, particularly the iMac, but the MacBook Pro has looked pretty close to the same for quite a while now. Like the biggest change we've seen is the touch bar, and that's it. So
yeah, I forgot. So speaking of the touch bar, that could be
that's
gone.
That's the other rumor that everyone's really excited about. It's like, yeah, MagSafe's cool, but did you hear they're gonna just toss the touch bar on a trash heap? And yeah, that's what's got everybody really excited at this point. I don't have any problem with it, and apparently I'm the only one. So anyway,
sounds like you are.
I think I am. Maybe it's just because I don't brush up against it all day long. I don't know. One of my M1 machine has a hardware escape button, and I do use that occasionally. So maybe that's what people are mad about. I don't know. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. So thank you, Charlotte and Andrew, for being here. I always love a Team Nightmare episode. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.